Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 1 John, chapter 4. 1 John, chapter 4, we're going to read verses 7 through 13 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. 1 John, chapter 4, verses 7 through 13. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that the love of God, but that he loved us, and sent us his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. And let's finish on verse 13. Ready? Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. And let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you. Lord, to meet the needs of your people today, I must have their attention. I pray that we would focus on the preaching of the Word of God, focus our mind, focus our spirit, and focus our attention so that we can get from you today what we need. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Every little girl grows up dreaming about being a mommy. It's not something that needs taught. It just happens naturally. You doubt it, watch them with a baby doll. They'll wrap that thing up, they'll feed it, they'll pretend with it, they'll take their dog and wrap it up and feed it, they'll do whatever they got to do, but it's just bred in a little girl to grow up to want to be a mommy. They grow up planning their wedding. Good night. My boys didn't give a flip. My daughter, from the time she could talk almost, was talking about her wedding. Now, up until a couple years ago, she thought she was marrying Daddy. Then she got stupid and decided she didn't want to do that anymore. I that was pretty good, wasn't it? I have to be nice to my wife. I don't have to be nice to my daughter today. But I have been married to the most incredible lady for almost 25 years. This June will be 25 years. I have drugged that little lady all over this country. We graduated from school in Northwest Indiana from college. I drug her all the way out to the L.A. area. We were in Long Beach, L.A. during the Rodney King riots. That's a fun place to be, let me tell you. They were burning buildings down 7 blocks from our house during the riots. I'm not kidding. We went from there. You talk about culture shock. We went from Chicago to L.A., from L.A. to Charleston, South Carolina. It took 3 years for them to say hello. Man, I could be through 3 sentences and they're still on the first word. I had to learn culture shock, amen. Then I went from there back to Northwest Indiana, and then we moved from there to here. And she has been all over the country with me, never a question one, never waning. I'll promise you this. Your preacher's wife is the most consistent, steady lady you will ever meet, I promise you. She is the same now as she was 25 years ago, just solid. I have the world's greatest mom, and I know that. My mom prayed for years for me to even be here, and God gave her request. Sometimes she wasn't sure what she was praying for, but she got it, and thank God for my mama. God made men, though, and women totally different. Yes, sir. Man's love is different than a woman's love. You see, God intended it that way to keep spice in a home. I'm going to make a statement here that may shock you. We live in a filthy generation. We live in a generation of sodomites. I'm going to make a statement here that might shock you. But do you know that even the sodomites dress themselves up to be like the other gender? They want something similar. Everybody doing okay? God is the source, the founder of all love. Ladies, you are the tender love of God. Men, you're supposed to be that principled, steady, constant, almost law-abiding, law-giving type love. Now, the world is starved to understand the balance. Today, I want to help you. It's going to appear as though there's two sermons today. There's not, but I'm going to give you six statements to introduce the sermon for the day. I think I can help you. I'm going to do a little teaching at the beginning, and then I'll get into the application of the sermon here in a little while. And I want you to listen. If you miss the next 10 minutes, you're going to be lost through the whole sermon, and you'll miss the truth. There are basically two kinds of love in the Bible. You have the word agape. Now, the word agape means the deep, abiding, principled love of God. That is the kind of love that God has for you and me. By that I mean this: for God so loved the world, not just the Christians, but God loved the world. He loves you whether you love him or not. He'll do right whether you do right or not. It is that unconditional, no matter what, I love you, I don't have to prove of it, but I'll love you anyway, kind of love. There is another word for love in the Bible. It is the Greek word phileos. We would use the term like Philadelphia. The beginning part of that, the Philly, is the abbreviation, the English abbreviation for phileo, the city of brotherly love. It is the word love. Now, listen to me very carefully. Agape is a very principled, steady, constant, it's done on purpose kind of love. Phileo, I'm going to use a real fancy term here. Phileo love is a bit more sensual, physical. I call it the hoochie-coochie kind of love, the tickle-feely kind of love. It's a little bit more emotion-based, physical-based kind of love. Now, that's statement number one. Those are the differences in the two loves. Here's something I want to apply with this. Men, God gave you an abundance of agape love and a lack of phileo love. God made you to be that lawgiver, that lawkeeper, that deep abiding. Look, I told you 20 years ago I love you. If I change my mind, I'll let you know kind of love. I hit that one pretty hard, didn't I? That's that agape love, ladies. By the way, he made you needing phileo love. You say, why? Because God made you to need your wife. Ladies, God gave you, and I realize I'm not talking all men over here, all ladies over here, but ladies, God gave you an abundance of that phileo love. And you need agape love. That's why when your little boy falls off his bike as he's learning to ride it and skins his knee, he says, just rub dirt on it, it's okay. And you pick him up and love on him. Oh, it's going to be okay. Let mommy kiss your boo-boo. No man in the world wants to kiss a boo-boo. Say, what do you want him to do? Rub it. Put some dirt on it. Say, why? That's all you're made out of anyway. Dirt will fix any cut, amen? Even knife cuts in the thigh. So, men, you have a strength of agape and a weakness and a need for phileo. Ladies, you have a strength of phileo, and you need that deep, abiding, reassuring, steady love of a man. Now, point number two. Agape love is like a plant that grows, matures, and produces. Let me show you what I mean. That is a picture of agape love. That is a plant that's healthy, it's producing flowers, producing fruit, and it's able to maintain itself and be reproductive on its own. That is a beautiful picture of what agape love is. It's strong, it's steady, it's constant. As the weather comes, it can weather the storms, and it will make it because of that principled, healthy love that it has. Ladies, there's your love, Miracle-Grow plant food. Phileo love is the fertilizer for the plant. It's that which can make that better. Phileo love, number three, is like a fertilizer to the plant of agape love. You put a little of that on there and watch that thing go crazy. Ladies, you put a little fertilizer on your marriage and watch him go nuts. Say, what is that? That's the way God made things. Everybody doing okay? I'm trying to be appropriate here, but hang in there. Point number four is going to slap you in the face here, number five. The fertilizer of phileo love applied properly to that plant makes that plant stronger. It makes it more stable. It makes it happier. It makes it more productive. And it allows it to mature properly. Point number five. Phileo love applied too soon. Phileo love applied too much. Causes that. These plants were both purchased on Wednesday. I poured an entire bottle of fertilizer on that plant. I bought them on Wednesday, and on Wednesday I brought them to the church. I watered that one, and I watered that one. I put a whole bottle of fertilizer on that plant, and from Wednesday to now, it looks like that. Can I tell you something? You put too much fertilizer on that plant, you will burn it out. You apply too much phileo at the wrong time, and you'll burn it out. We have a sodomite generation because we have an immoral generation. We have young people being taught how to have babies when they're in elementary school, and by the time they are to be maturing and having healthy relationships, they want to marry men and women marry women. You say, why? Because we burned them out. Number six, our society has burned out agape love with all the phileoism, I realize that's not a scriptural word, of today. You can't buy a car without phileo love being advertised. Everything in advertising is fertilizer. Half-undressed women, sensual music, sensual speaking females, guys with their shirts off to attract, you name it, it's all just fertilizer. That's all it is. And we have phileoed ourselves into degrading that to that. The average outlook of men in America is that. Hollywood has portrayed men as being bumbling idiots that can't do anything. See, what is that? Phileoism. Phileoism. Now, ladies, now we're transitioning into the rest of the sermon. You control the switch for the amount of fertilizer you use. We want strong, healthy, God-fearing, mature, steady love. Make sure you don't burn out the agape love you so desire in your life. Make sure that you help us grow young men and men and your husbands into that, not that. The farther we get away from God, the more like that we get. The farther we get from God, the more Nancy Pelosi's and Hillary Clinton's we have. Say, you shouldn't be political. I'm not. I'm just preaching. Ladies, today, I would like to help you learn how to apply the fertilizer appropriately. Every lady in this room, every teenage young lady, every older lady, every little girl desires strong, solid, manly leadership around her to secure her. If you're not careful, that's what you're creating. If you're not careful, you'll never have this, you'll just have that. And then you will blame everybody else for the fact that you fertilized too soon or too much. Now, listen to me very carefully. Number one, apply the fertilizer. Everybody doing all right? Everybody smile. Okay? Ladies, I love you. Men, I love you too. I'm going to talk to the ladies, but men, just so you know, when you feel that slap in the back of the head, it's God, not your wife. All right, here we go. Apply the fertilizer of dress very carefully. Ladies, you don't understand how a man thinks. Your dress is an external stimuli that is fertilizer to a man. Everybody doing okay? I'm gonna make a statement here. Real men are attracted to ladies. Can I get an amen? Amen. Say, oh, I'm not. We're going to take you out back and teach you a few things. You're not coming back in the shape you're leaving in, though. Real men are attracted to ladies. Ladies, how you dress affects a man. Now, I'm not preaching at you today. I'm preaching preventive. I want to show you some things. The nudity of today is destroying the manhood in America. Nudity today is creating that, not that. Everybody doing okay? Okay. According to the Bible, nudity means exposing the thigh. Ladies, keep yourselves covered. I'm not yelling at you. I'm not screaming at you. I'm not mad at you. I want you to have this, not that. That's all I'm asking. Ladies, look at the average billboard. I taught my boys, I rarely look at a billboard. You say, why? They're filthy. I taught my boys, don't look. Man, we'd be driving down in the car as a family. My daughter, my wife, boys, everybody look left. We're looking left. Say why? Because something on the right wasn't to be seen. We didn't ask questions. We didn't say, oh, what for? My wife and my daughter were trying to give us this, not that. Boy, that's good stuff. Look at the styles of today's skirts. They're short. Matter of fact, most of you ladies, your shirts are longer than the skirts are. Say why? Because man needs a lady to be covered, or you're applying too much fertilizer. Though, there are certain things that only your husband should see, not somebody else's. And that means your slits ought not come above your knee and expose your thigh either. And I'm not mad. I'm just trying to help you. I'm helping you understand something. You say, well, they shouldn't be looking. You're not a man. You're mad at that, but you're the one putting the fertilizer on too often. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. You ought not wear your skirts and clothes so tight that you got to wiggle like a fish out of water when you walk. Some of you, we can read what size skirt you have because it's plastered on there so tight that there's nothing left. And it's not because you put on a few pounds like we all have, especially after last night. Ladies, be careful. I'm not just talking about in any direction it not be too tight. I'm going to get in trouble, but add it to the list. Be careful how low cut your tops are. Ladies, if a man can look down your shirt, he will. And you're going to burn him out. My dear friend used to say it this way, if it's not for sale, don't put a for sale sign on it. Be careful. Be careful your top is tight enough that if you're going to be doing something and you bend over, that everybody that's around you doesn't have to go. I'm just going to go ahead and say this. If a lady walked through that door right now in nothing but her underwear, you all would be appalled. But you go someplace, paint it a different color, put some water and some sand around it, and it's okay. What makes it right? Be careful of today's styles. Ladies, I'm for you wearing decent denim skirts and things, but be careful. You know, a decent length, modest denim skirt, they're now fading them to where your thighs or your rear end or other body parts are highlighted by the fading. And that's just as filthy. I'm just being honest. You get mad at how some men look at you, but have you looked at yourself? Can I tell you something? Be careful how much Miracle Grow you put on. You're going to burn out what should not be burned out. Okay? Apply it carefully. By the way, I don't think you ought to walk around in nothing but a bathrobe singing holy, 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 holy either. We had a family visit our church recently, and they said, you know, it was refreshing. We came to your church severely too casually dressed. We are so sorry. I said, I didn't even notice. She said, oh, we did. I was appalled. She said, I didn't know anything like that still existed. She said, I grew up with Sunday go-to-meeting clothes. She said, but so long since I've been to a church that had it, I didn't realize anyone still survived. I said, we survived. She said, when we come back, we'll be dressed appropriately. We didn't even say anything about it. I took that as an honor. I'm saying apply it, but apply it carefully. Number two, apply the fertilizer of body language carefully. Everybody listen to me. You know, there used to be a day when you looked at a lady and she smiled. They didn't sit there like this. Good night. Now, sure enough, there's 20 ladies in here sitting with your arms folded. There's nothing wrong with it. Okay? But if you're sitting there with your arms folded doing this at me, there's something wrong with it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay, can I tell you something? There was a day when ladies knew how to smile. Ladies, even though they may not have felt well, still smiled. Some of you, I'm not sure that you're well, because you've never smiled. You know, you wonder why people avoid you. Have you looked at yourself in the mirror lately? Smile. It's okay. Man, I was at Sheets about 6 this morning. There was a female in there, and she was coming my way to the door, and I opened the door, and I smiled at her. I said, "Good morning." She just looked at me. I said, "Good morning." She said, "Morning." I said, "No, ma'am, it's a good morning for me." I thought, "Lady, you don't know what you just talked to." I thought, how sad. I'm glad I don't wake up to that. I'm glad I don't go home to that. Say, you shouldn't think that way. Okay, you don't, but I did. Good night. Ladies, learn to smile. be careful with the body language of how you walk. Some of you, there are ladies that walk a certain way to attract a man. You're trying to get his attention. Be careful. Be careful. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Make sure you don't flirt with your eyes. You are good, clean, godly, decent ladies. Be careful when you work in the world. Be careful. Don't be flirtatious with your eyes. A man reads body language better than you think. He might not read your intention, but he's reading what you're saying. We live in a society to where fornication is acceptable. I hate to tell you, fornication's not acceptable. I don't care what the United States government says. I don't care what any government says. God said it's not. And by the way, young people need to quit hugging all over each other. Teach your young people, keep their hands off each other. I'm just going to tell it like it is. Okay? Everybody doing all right? And ladies, be careful how you sit. Sit like a lady. I'm not going to go any further. You watch the average Hollywood whore, and that's not what a man wants. I'm just going to say it. How much clothing can they take off? How much sheerness can they put on to expose as much as they can get away with legally or illegally? Be careful of your body language. Number three. Everybody doing all right? I love you. Apply the fertilizer of attitude carefully. Apply the fertilizer of attitude carefully. Ladies, look at me. I am not a male chauvinist pig. I promise you. Male chauvinist hog, maybe, but not a pig. Ladies, I believe that you are as valuable to our world as anybody else is. But I'm going to make a statement here. Bossy women, that's what you create in a man. We don't need bossy ladies. We need capable ladies that know how to submit and follow the way they're supposed to submit and follow. And by the way, I have no problem with strong ladies, just so you know. You ladies know your preacher loves you no matter how strong you are. I've learned how to corral you. If you get out of line, I might pull you aside and say, "Yeah." But I'm not going to do it in front of everybody and embarrass you and make you rear up that ability to be bossy and turn it into a situation like this. There are some of you, if I pulled you aside and did that, you'd be in a puddle of tears and it would be too harsh. I'm for capable ladies. God gave you that ability on purpose. Guess what? God can use it. Nothing wrong with it, but you don't have to be bossy. We don't need ladies with a snobby attitude. Okay, everybody doing all right? Here we go. Quit looking down your nose at somebody that doesn't have the past you have. There are people in this room that are sinners. Matter of fact, look around. Every one of them is. Including the guy behind this piece of wood. There's not a one of us that aren't sinners. Who are you to compare yourself to somebody else that's just as bad a sinner as you are? Who are you to look down your Pharisaical snoot and say, well, I know what they did in their past. Do you want us to expose everything you've done? Do you want us to compare you with what Scripture says you're doing right now with their past? Well, they've made some mistakes, and you haven't. Everybody doing all right? Let's not look down our nose at people that don't have the financial status we have. And I'm going to make a statement here before you get too awful fired up at me here. Those of you that have means should not look down at those that don't have means, but I'm sick and tired of Americans that people that don't have means get mad at people that do have money. That direction goes two ways, just so you know. You ought not think yourself less of someone because they have money. By the way, why does money factor into it at all? Everybody doing all right? Ground's level at the cross. Somebody's soul has no dollar amount and no color added to it. I don't care what color you are or how much money you do or don't have, the ground is level at the cross. And I'm just going to say this. Ladies, be careful as your emotions change that your attitude doesn't. You ladies set the atmosphere everywhere you go. The reason Grace Baptist Church has the reputation it has the spirit that it has, is because the spirit of the ladies in this room. I'll promise you. Let me ask you a question. What's the spirit of our church based on your spirit, though? The more feminine your attitude, the more manly the men will be. I promise you. The more feminine the lady, the more the man wants to step up and be the man. Well, let me show you what I mean. Compare Bill and Hillary. You say, what a joke. Yeah, because look at her. I don't know who Nancy Pelosi's married to, what his or her name is. But I'll promise you this, if it's a man, he's a wimpy little critter. I don't know about you, but if I saw Nancy Pelosi and she's carrying a box, I would still help her as a man. But I wouldn't want to. I was proud. Mrs. Lowther was walking in this morning, had her arms full, and one of our men got to her almost right away and said, here, let me take that. Say, why? Because there is a feminine lady, and somebody else said, she's a lady, let me help her. Perfect illustration. Boy, that's good stuff. Mom, you need to start treating your teenage boys like men and not like five-year-olds. Some of you mamas are struggling with your teenage boy because you want him to be a five-year-old, not a 15-year-old. He's more man than he is little boy. Comes a point in time where, yes, you can tell him to do something, but you'll be wiser if you ask him like you should ask your husband. You'll get more out of him. Okay, moving on. Apply the fertilizer of attitude carefully. Number four, and I'll be finished here. Don't put your shoes on yet. Use the fertilizer of words carefully. The Bible says in Proverbs 31, in her tongue was the law of kindness. We need ladies who build with words, not spew negative gossip and depression everywhere. That's what gossip creates. This is what good words create. This is what depressed words create. This is what encouraging words create. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Ladies, I know you've been locked up with those kids all day long. They've written on the walls, they've spilled on the floor, they have made other messes, they've ticked you off, and he's been at work all day long on a vacation away from them, and he walks through the door, and all three of them need beat. Give him 5 minutes before you puke on him, all right? Don't meet him at the door with, go beat all three of them right now, okay? Give it a few minutes. Ask him how it's going. Then you can tell him when he says, how's it going for you? Well, it wasn't a good day. Can I tell you something? You'll have a better day. You'll have a stronger man. I promise you. We need ladies who know how to show kindness, even with a differing opinion. My wife and I have been married an awfully long time. I've said this for a long time. My wife and I have never argued or had a fight. We've never raised our voices at one another. But don't you think in 25 years we've disagreed with each other? Daily. Probably. But we don't get upset about it. Say, how do you do that? My wife knows how to word it. Every once in a while, it'll be a couple days later, I'll think, man, she knew what she was talking about. I can't believe she did that to me. Slid that thing in there. It was like a sharp knife. You didn't know you got cut, amen? Till the blood was running down the leg. Even in a differing opinion, you can speak kindly. Boy, that's good stuff. The Bible says that a contentious woman is like a continual dropping of the rain. Do you ever hear a faucet when you go to bed and you can hear it going drip, 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 drip? In about 2 hours of that, you're about ready to come unscrewed. And then you get this bright idea. I'll put something under it and catch the water. What for? You're still going to dump that stupid thing down the drain anyway. You're not going to keep that water. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And then the cup gets full and then it starts dripping louder because it's got all that water in there. Bloop, 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 bloop. So 3 hours into it, you're going, ooh. Y'all know what I'm talking about? The Bible says a woman who is contentious, nagging is just like that drippy faucet. It just keeps dripping and 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 wearing and wearing and wearing and wearing and wearing. Ladies, sometimes you have to speak your opinion and let him fail. He'll figure it out. He'll listen to you the next time. But I know you know. But sometimes we're hard-headed and we're not going to listen to you, so let us fail. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun here. Ladies, be careful you don't become dripping when you don't get what you want. I'm going to move on. The Bible also says we need ladies who know when not to speak. Can I tell you something? Your husband might do or say something stupid. Let me rephrase that. Your husband will do something stupid. He will say something stupid. Man, not might, he will. Amen, Brother Jerry? The worst time to correct him is when somebody else is around. You never see my wife correct me. She does. Say when? When nobody else is around. I'll promise you, ladies, if he says something stupid and you in front of a group of people or somebody say, well, that was really stupid, he's going to bow his neck. He's gonna step up and be the man, and you're killing him. You're killing him. There's times I've gone home and my wife will say, you know, I don't think that was best. Okay, boom. But I'm glad she didn't sit up in church and say, huh, don't do that. Can I tell you something? Ladies, be careful. Don't criticize your husband to anybody else. I'm talking about the ladies you work with. I'm talking about your friends here at church. Don't criticize him. And I'm just going to go ahead and say this. Be careful how you criticize your children to somebody else. I'm just ready to kill him because he did this and he did this. Maybe we ought to start talking kindly and not destroying. Now, if you need help, come see somebody that can help you with them. But telling everybody and they end up hearing that you told everybody all the dumb things they did, that doesn't help them grow. You're just... Ladies, don't have this kind of attitude. I don't care what you say, we're going to do it my way. That doesn't create this. You might think it will, but all you're getting is this. You might even be right. Nothing wrong with that, is there? You put too much of it on there, and that's what you create. We need ladies who will love the unlovely, love the difficult, love the one that nobody else wants to love. I was at Bible college. I was not looking to date. I was just busy. I was taking 20, 21 hours of class. I was basically a youth director, a Bible club leader. I had two Bible clubs. Virtually, I had a junior high club and a senior high club. I had a bus route. I was an assistant to the Bible club director. I was working 40 hours a week, driving an hour to work and an hour home from work each day. I was busy. I was teaching Sunday school. Say, why weren't you interested? I was too tired. But one day we were having a big soul winning day, and a college young lady was working with a group of my college ladies, and I was watching several groups of ladies and organizing them, and there was a couple groups of ladies on this street. They went up soul winning up Detroit Street in Central Hammond, and I saw one group of ladies over here and one over here. This group went up this whole street, had nobody saved. This group went up this street and had three or four people saved. And I noticed one little cute little blonde with blue eyes. She had all of them saved on this side. Nobody else had anybody saved. I watched her bend over and talk to some, and I'll use the term ragamuffin type children, street type kids. Loved on them. Saw a couple little girls and hugged on them. And I thought, wow, that's a pretty young lady that's not afraid to get herself dirty to show some love. That's a sharp young lady. Oh, by the way, 2 years later, I married her. Say why? I noticed how she loved people that didn't know how to love back and didn't have anything to give back. Was she cute? Of course she is. That wasn't the thing that got me. How did she speak to somebody that couldn't give her anything back? That's why she married me, amen. I had to find somebody like that. Now, can I tell you something? So many times, ladies, we're good at loving on people that can prosper us, give us something. How do you treat that one that can't give you anything? Apply that fertilizer carefully. I can't tell you how many people that lady's responsible for building, because she ever so slightly, ever so carefully, she just keeps doing it a little at a time. Do you know that over a long period of time, you could use this whole bottle of fertilizer on that plant, and it would be huge and beautiful. But if you pour it on all at one time, that's what you get. Little capful at a time. Little capful at a time. It takes a long time. Yeah, I know it does. Be patient. Ladies, you have the biggest job in the world. You are the builder of men. You are the king builders. You're the kingdom builders. Oh, the man gets the credit for it, but you're the one behind the scenes building him to build it. Your man is a product of you. Your boys are a product of you. My boys last night, I was on a long phone call last night. My boys were texting me, "Dad, what time can I call Mom tomorrow?" Independently. "I want to talk to Mom tomorrow. We've got gifts for her, but we're not going to give them. She's going there this week to see them. And we got gifts for her for Mother's Day, but we're going to wait till she gets here. We're not going to send them." I love that. Got two boys that are young men that love their mama. Trying to coordinate when they could talk to her at a good time. Whew. Say, what is that? She's a kingmaker. She's a man maker. Don't complain about him. You made the mess. Is he a little droopy? I'm not talking about physically. Every once in a while, you got to clip them dead leaves off, amen? But back off the fertilizer, maybe it is that you haven't applied any of it. You can water and water and water and water and water, but if it doesn't get food every once in a while, it might need a little of that. Spice it up a little bit. Huh. We live in a generation where that's the average man in America. All burned up, dry, and dusty. Our music, our advertising, the average television show, Hollywood, everything is sensual, phileo. Ladies, you desire that right there. You desire that agape, then don't over-fertilize. A little at a time. A little at a time. My Bible says, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God." Watch this. "And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." Can I show you the source of love? Right there it is. Right there it is. Ladies, your ability to love your husband is determined by your walk with your God. Men, your ability to love your wife is determined by your walk with God. I have never counseled a marriage that people were fussing with each other to where both people were right with God. Never. Never. Any love relationship strained is because somebody's not walking with God. But watch this. If you've never been born of God, you can't even experience what real love is yet. You have to be born again. "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." He's born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. Say, what does being born again mean? Ha, glad you asked. The Bible says that we're all sinners. You know that. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. The Bible also says there's a penalty for your sin. That penalty was established before man was created because God kicked Lucifer out of heaven in his disloyal rebellion, created hell for the devil and his angels. They were cast out of heaven. Then God created man and said, "Don't sin. If you do, you'll face the same hell that the devil and his angels create that I created for them. And I did not create it for you. I created it for them." But man chose to sin. And because of that, we deserve by justice the same hell that they get. But God loved us so much that he gave us Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ left heaven, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, shed his blood on the cross, and died. Watch this. And he conquered death and resurrected from the dead 3 days and three nights later. Applied that blood on the mercy seat in heaven so that you could go to heaven. By the way, he did not do that for the devil. He did not do that for the angels, but he did do that for you and me. You can't birth yourself. You have to be birthed of someone else. God said, "I've provided it all for you. All you have to do is accept it. All you have to do is receive it. It's not joining a church. It's not living a good life. Those are things you do. It's not being baptized. It is by receiving Jesus Christ and Him alone, trusting what He did to take you to heaven, not what you're doing. Then you can start to experience the real love of God. Then you can experience the ability to love the way God loves. Ladies, how's the fertilizing going? How's it going? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who would say, "Preacher, if I died today, I know 100% sure I'd go to heaven. I don't have any doubt in my mind." Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Thank you for your honesty. Are there those that would say, "Preacher, if I died today," and I'm not going to come to you, I won't embarrass you, I won't call you out. But is there one or more that would say, "Preacher, if I died today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven, but I sure would like to know today"? It won't take but a moment. You'd say, "That's me, I don't know for sure." Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Somebody else? All right. Who would say, "Preacher, somewhere tucked in that sermon today, whether I'm a man or a lady, there's a truth or two in there that got me, and I need some help"? Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Scores and scores and scores of hands everywhere. In a moment, the music will begin to play. We'll stand to our feet. When that time comes, if you need to use this altar, you come. If you're not sure you're going to heaven, you come use this altar. If you've been saved and you need to follow the Lord in baptism, we can take care of that today. You come.